Spirit Guide Underground, September 15, 2007.
Warning, access restricted. Enter password. Begin DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome. Spirit.
Welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground Podcast. I'm Peter Franson, the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can check out what we're doing and grab lots of cool downloads at www.spiritblade.net. Also, we've got the weblog that you can check out. I don't talk about that very much, but that's at spiritblade.typepad.com. There's no www before that, just spiritblade.typepad.com. And also my musings and geeking out, my personal weblog, over at petersbrain.blogspot.com. Okay, so we've got a veritable potpourri of things that we're covering today. I'm going to overview a few cool comic book happenings this week, go over some upcoming movie business that affects superhero films and upcoming DVD releases. We've got our usual Bible study and some other stuff. So, without any further ado, let's get you caught up on all the updates.
Update information.
Okay, this week, I completed mixing scenes 2 through 4 for Spirit Blade Dark Ritual. I'm a little bit behind schedule, but I'm hoping to catch up later on this next coming week. I'm including as much of the score as possible instead of waiting until the end last time with the first Spirit Blade project. I kind of did a few things in phases. I would line up all the actors' lines, and then I would add in the sound effects, and then I would add in like little foley things like footsteps and clothing and stuff like that, and then finally I would make a pass through the whole thing and add music. But this time I decided, you know what, I'm going to just complete every scene as much as possible as I go through the thing chronologically and pick up songs here and there along the way and finish up the rest of the songs that I haven't finished when I'm done mixing the last scene. So I'm approaching it a little bit differently this time around, but I find that it varies up kind of my artistic activity and keeps things more interesting for me, allowing me to put in more hours and hopefully get the project done as quickly as possible. So anyway, I'm weighing options right now for music. Last time in the first Spirit Blade, I used a combination of material from unique tracks and just some of my own simplistic work on the keyboard to create the score, the background music for the whole project. This time, I'm probably going to be using exclusively other people's work instead of doing any of my own kind of keyboard work for any scoring of any scenes. It's probably going to be all royalty-free products from various companies. I think that'll increase the sound quality, just the overall production value of the whole thing. I think it'll, you know, it'll be just better in general. So, I'm looking at investing in some more royalty-free music. I have looked around to see about some other royalty-free music sources, it's, you know, I've talked to some of the folks on Darker Projects, and some people recommended, you know, going to a PodSafe Music and getting connected with some composers and stuff there, and so that's a possibility that I still may look into, but it's a lot easier and sometimes even worth a little bit of extra money that we've set aside for these projects to just get some high-quality royalty-free music that's, you know, you get what you pay for, so it's great quality. And then also you can mix it yourself, and you don't have to rely on anybody else and them kind of flaking out on you or whatever, because, you know, I can't really pay anybody what they're worth in terms of, you know, composers. So the royalty-free music is kind of the way I'm going. So anyway, blah, blah, blah. That was a whole lot of nonsense. It wasn't nonsense, but it wasn't all that terribly interesting. Let's get on with our main feature.
Primary feature.
Okay, there wasn't any particular comic book that stood out this week, so I'm just going to kind of give an overview. It was almost like a honorary Green Lantern month for DC Comics. There was several issues of various comics that seemed to highlight a Green Lantern in some way. First of all, the book Green Lantern, number 23, came out this week. It's the Sinestro Corps War, Part 6. If you're not following this and you're a DC Comics fan of any kind, you're doing yourself a disservice, because the freaking Anti-Monitor is involved in the plot going on in the Sinestro Corps War. For those who don't know who the Anti-Monitor is, he was the big bad behind Crisis on Infinite Earths in 1985, which started this whole... really the whole phenomenon in comics of big summer events and stuff like that. But in DC Comics, the recent Infinite Crisis and now the Countdown stuff, all of it really finds its origins in 1985's Crisis on Infinite Earths. And anyway, the Anti-Monitor, come on, people, you got to check it out. The cover to Green Lantern 23 is compelling because it's kind of a mockery, or like a, you know, it makes reference to when Hal Jordan went nuts and he was wearing a bunch of Green Lantern rings on his fingers with a maniacal look on his face. Well, on this cover, he's wearing a bunch of Sinestro Corps rings on his fingers, and it's just really, really freaking cool. Countdown number 33. Here's a little shout-out to Winston Mindspike. He was really frustrated with what they've been doing with Kyle Rayner, but this is for you, Winston. Countdown 33, Kyle Rayner returns, and he is a Green Lantern. He's not Ion, he's not Parallax, but he's Green Lantern. Now, the events in Green Lantern 23, he's still Parallax, but it seems pretty clear that eventually with the stuff in Green Lantern is going to resolve with him being a Green Lantern again, because just before becoming Parallax, he was Ion. So, and he's kind of talks in the beginning of Countdown 33 about, I'm a Green Lantern again. Here I am, Green Lantern again. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but if you were fearing the worst for Kyle Rayner, fear no more. It appears he's a Green Lantern once again, at least in one part of the DC Universe, and I'm sure the other part will catch up. Booster Gold, still a good read. Not quite as compelling as the first one, but it is interesting to see this guy who's been such a glory hound all of his superhero career being forced to hide his identity and all of his good works, and he has to let other people take credit and think that he's a big buffoon, you know. I think it's going to be an interesting book, Booster Gold. This is issue 2. He's going to be kind of time-hopping throughout the DC Universe, space and time, and all the 52 kind of realities, too. I get the impression that he's going to be jumping through those as well eventually. So if you want a tour of the DC Universe and just be reminded of how just big its scope is and how much continuity and history the DC Universe has, I think Booster Gold is going to be a really cool book for you. And lastly, Justice Society of America number 9. The issue as a whole was not terribly captivating, except for the last page. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. The Superman from Mark Waid's Kingdom Come, Mark Waid and Alex Ross, Kingdom Come, has stepped through a black hole, and it appears will now be a part of Justice Society of America. I'd read in Wizard or somewhere that he's going to become like an ongoing member of the Justice Society of America, like the Graying Temple's older Superman from Kingdom Come will be part of the JSA, which I think is really, really cool. So I'll be keeping my eye on that. That's it for comic books. Let's see here. Variety.com has caused a hubbub among fans by stating that Iron Man, quote, flies in the trailers but won't in the film. The write-up over at Variety deals with the fact that certain scenes in that cool Iron Man trailer were created just for the trailer, namely the scenes of Iron Man rocketing in the sky with the jets. Let's see here. Variety says that a spokesman for Industrial Light and Magic confirms that the flying Iron Man shots are not finals, in other words, completed, delivered visual effects, and were only made for the film's Comic-Con promo reel. Director Jon Favreau said as much at Comic-Con, that he was riding herd over ILM in the run-up to the show just to get those jet scenes created. What has fans buzzing, though, is the headline and subheading they ran with the article Paramount grounds Iron Man and superhero flies in trailer but won't in the film. All this stuff that I'm reading to you right now, this is all from comics2film.com, a great resource for getting information about upcoming comic book movies and all the behind-the-scenes stuff. We'll see ultimately when the movie comes out. Favreau, Comics to Film, thinks that Favreau's probably going to address it on his blog shortly, but most likely we'll see Iron Man flying next summer. It just is possible that it won't be the same. You know, those particular flying sequences may not appear in the film. So it's not necessarily, we're not necessarily negating the idea that Iron Man is going to fly. It just may be that those particular flying shots will not be used in the film. Okay, so just a reminder, Superman Doomsday, the animated film based on the best-selling graphic novel of all time, The Death of Superman, which happened in the, gosh, I was like in freaking junior high. I remember I geeked out and wrote a little poem about Superman and his death. I was just so sad. I wish I still had it and I'd read it for you, but it was really poorly written, I'm sure. And I really feel like a geek looking back and thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe I wrote a poem in mourning of Superman. I wasn't even a hardcore comic book fan back then. Imagine what I'd do if Superman died today. But anyway, Superman Doomsday is coming out on DVD this Tuesday. It's a PG-13 movie, so if you're thinking that it's going to be kind of a kid's animated film, think again. This is going to be a hard-hitting and dark story, as is fitting from the source material. So be sure and check it out. I'm definitely going to be purchasing my copy on Tuesday. And tonight on the Sci-Fi Channel, Highlander The Source will be premiering. It's a new Highlander movie, and I'm a little bit nervous because, for several reasons. It's direct to DVD/TV. I haven't seen a release date for the DVD yet. I looked on Amazon.com and I couldn't find anything. But it's going direct to kind of DVD/TV. Not only that, but it's the first in the trilogy. So it looks like they've kind of given up on putting the Highlander franchise in theaters at this point, and they're going to be doing whatever stuff they're doing from now on direct to DVD type stuff. I've seen a few clips online put together by amateurs. No official trailers, I don't think, are out there. What I saw was compelling and interesting, and the director was the director behind Lawnmower Man in the 90s and a couple other films. So he's done some theatrical stuff. And the visual style, if the special effects that I saw get finished up in post-production and look pretty good, the visual style looks cool, and the few commercials that I've seen on Sci-Fi on the Sci-Fi Channel show an interesting visual style. It does take place in the near future, and is reportedly going to deal with the origins of the Immortals, which a disastrous attempt was made at that in the second Highlander movie that was following Connor McLeod at the time, about them being, it said that Immortals were from another planet, and then the director's cut later on said they were from the distant past sent forward in the future. Just kind of some weird stuff. Part of the fun of the Immortal concept is that we don't know where they're from. They're these mysterious beings that have always been there, and we don't know where they came from. So I'm a little bit nervous about about the movie that's going to be on tonight. It's also set, like I said, somewhere in the near future, so it seems to be kind of treading on ground that we've already been on before. So I'm a little bit nervous that they might make the same mistake twice. But if this is going to be the introduction to a trilogy, maybe they've thought this one out a little bit more. Hopefully they have. I'm hopeful. We'll see. I'll go ahead and post a review for what I think of Highlander The Source at patersbrain.blogspot.com on Monday. So if you want to check out the movie tonight and then go over to patersbrain.blogspot.com on Monday, you can see my review, and maybe I'll touch base on it next week. Depends on what I think. But anyway, that's it for our main feature.
The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
Doctor, we'll set you free.
Okay, this week we are searching for truth in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. I'm amazed when I think about how long we've been going through the Gospel of John. This has just been a really cool journey for me. I hope you guys have been enjoying it as well. So let's look at chapter 16. If you haven't read it yet, please do that. I try to emphasize that every week because I'm just a dude. And, you know, I've spent time looking at this and studying this as best I can. But I'm a dude. I'm not God. And the words I say are not the words of God. So please do not make me or this podcast your substitute for actually reading and looking at the Word of God. That's such an awesome thing that we've been given, God's letter to us. Man, that's cool. So please don't miss out on that. Read chapter 16 if you haven't. But let's take a look at just my observations. Jesus is warning his followers that they will be outcasts and the victims of murderers who believe they are serving God. He just reminds us, you know what, this isn't going to be a picnic all the time to follow me. But despite this dark shadow of the future, Jesus also promises the Holy Spirit. Now, in Jesus' physical body, he can only be in one place at a time, because he's fully man. But at the same time, through the Holy Spirit, another part of the Trinity of which Jesus is a part, Jesus is omnipresent. He is present everywhere in all space-time. It's interesting to note, moving on, looking at verse 9, it's interesting to note that Jesus says that lack of belief in him is sinful. He says that the world's sin is that they don't believe in him. And that's, you know, that's pretty wild to think about in our culture, you know. But what's the reason for that? You know, this is me personally, okay? So this is not, this is, again, I'll emphasize again, not God speaking. You know, I think in the end that the evidence is so compelling. God has put the evidence for belief in him out there that if we really search it out, I think that we'll come to the conclusion. I think we have to come to the conclusion that that his word is true, that he's speaking the truth, that Jesus is who he said he was, and that ultimately what stops people from believing, I think, is that they don't want to. They, you know what I mean? They don't want to make the changes in their life that they know they will have to if they're going to acknowledge, okay, God is God and what he says goes, and if he really is the king of the universe, then I really do need to obey him, and that's going to mean I'm going to have to change things in my life. I'll have to add some activities and I'll have to subtract some others. And that is a difficult thing to do, and it's an ongoing thing to do as well. You know, I have to look at myself and you know, say, Peter, you are selfish. You are insensitive toward others. You can be prideful. And sometimes you watch things that aren't really good for you, you know? This is an ongoing, difficult process that we have to go through. I just had reason to go through it again this last week to just really examine my life next to Scripture and see where, you know, I'm not matching up. And there was a few things, you know, that I thought, gosh, you know, I really do need to change this. I really do need to step up my faith walk and make some adjustments here. There's some things in my life that I don't need and that are harming me. So it's a difficult thing to do. And I don't claim any like special spirituality, you know, I'm not some great person or anything like that. God just chooses to call people to him through the Holy Spirit and to reveal himself to them. And geez, I am just so thankful that God chose to reveal himself to me, because I left to my own devices. I would run from him as fast as I possibly could. It's a real comfort to note, I think, that because of what Jesus was about to do here, leading, you know, into the coming chapters, that humans can be considered righteous in God's eyes. And this is hinted at in verse 10. I am so thankful for that, because as I said, I couldn't earn any favor with God by the way I act. I do try to please him. Hopefully, you know, that's what we want to do as Christians, but, you know, I believe it's in Isaiah. I'll have to look this up to confirm it sometime. But Isaiah that says that our righteousness, all our righteous works, are like filthy rags. You know, when God looks at them, that they're not perfect. And with God, He requires perfection because He's a perfect and just God. Something worth remembering, I think, is that the Holy Spirit is more than once referred to as the Spirit of Truth. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, and that He won't be just presenting his own ideas, but will represent Christ in this world. Now, sometimes a very spiritual-sounding movement will claim divine inspiration. And whether the movement has its origins in Christianity or elsewhere, based on what Christ says here, we can know that if a spiritual movement or teaching of some kind in any way contradicts the teachings of Jesus, it's not really from God. Why would God contradict himself? Since the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth and is in this world to represent Christ. Jesus presents several sources of comfort for his followers, and this includes his followers today. So I hope you really take comfort from these things. He presents these in anticipation of the difficulty that that we as believers in Christ will have in life. Excuse me. Number one, Jesus promises the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's verses 5 through 15. Number two, Jesus says that because of their connection to him, because of our connection to him, that we can pray directly to God the Father without need of anyone like a pastor or a priest to speak to God for them. The whole reason that Jesus came and sacrificed himself was to pay for our sins so that we would be declared righteous before God's eyes, so that we could have direct access to him. It's not because we're great people that we can pray to God and we don't need a pastor or a priest. It's because Christ paid for all the screw-ups that we did, all of our selfishness and all of our self-entitlement or pride or whatever. Number three, Jesus reminds his followers that despite their difficulties in life, he has already overcome all the evil in this world, winning for us the ultimate victory and saving us from the ultimate punishment. So when we experience pain, we can also experience peace in those moments by remembering that all pain in this life is temporary. And because of Christ, a time is going to come when those who love and follow him will never have fear or pain again. If you're a fan of sci-fi, just imagine that concept for a moment. What will that existence be like, to have no fear or pain, but we know we won't be bored because that wouldn't be perfect. So it's going to be a totally, outside the box kind of existence. Adventure and excitement and all those kinds of elements are going to be present, but without fear or pain. I can't even imagine what that's going to look like. But God is so complex, I wouldn't be surprised if we just spend eternity exploring who he is, all the facets of his personality and all the adventures he'll take us on, and just an incredible thing to think about. So I hope you're encouraged by those thoughts. If you've been having some frustration lately in your life, hopefully these verses will remind you that God, he's not interested in being cold and distant and aloof and just kind of, forget that person, they weren't good today or whatever, so I'm not going to help them or bless them or care about them or whatever. No, God wants us to be close to him all the time because he knows that we can find comfort and support in his presence, and he wants to give that to us. He loves us so much. Come back next Monday for our look at chapter 17. We're going to look at how Jesus prayed, which is a wild concept when you think about it. This is Jesus, God, praying to God the Father, God. What's that conversation going to be like? Check out chapter 17 for the answers, and I'll talk about it some next week. Our coffeehouse question for this week is, when was the last time you felt like the odd man out because of something that you believe? And you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and let's see. I was going to do that after the break here, but I got an email from Colin this week, because I post these questions at the website on Mondays when the Bible study goes out at spiritblade.typepad.com. So you can always check out the Bible study a little bit early during the week. I put the coffeehouse question up there at that time, and Colin, our good friend Colin, sent me an email. Saying that, let me find the whole thing here. I'm so disorganized. Maybe I should have waited for the break. When was the last time you felt like the odd man out because of something you believe? Colin says, I don't believe in many things, but there is one thing that holds true. I believe that we are not alone in the universe. Now, I'm not saying that we have indeed been visited, although there is evidence we most likely have been. This is one of the other hang-ups I have with Christian faith and the Bible. I fail to see why God, in all his omnipotence, would create an entire universe but have just one planet that could sustain life out of the trillions of planets out there. Which brings me to my next topic, aliens themselves or Greys. I've personally never seen them, though there are tons of reports of them. Is it possible that they are the demons of which the Bible speaks? There are many hidden references in the biblical text that make me believe that Jesus was indeed an alien being as well, and supposedly we have been visited by beings from other planets since the dawn of human history. Is it possible that the TV series Stargate SG-1 was right on the mark in that alien beings were the gods spoken of in Greek mythology? I suppose we'll never know. Well, Colin, you're not going to be an outsider here, at least with me personally, because I think that many Christians are guilty of promoting a single inhabited planet view of the universe and making anyone who thinks different feel like a heretic. My personal frustration with many Christians is that they leave no room for imagination. At the end of the day, we do need to look at the evidence and separate what makes good science fiction television or movies or books or whatever from what is really likely to be reality. But until then, it's fun to just wonder. It's fun to just think of the possibilities. On the topic of alien life in the universe, the Bible does not actually rule out the existence of life on other planets. It just doesn't comment one way or the other on it. And I think some Christians kind of read into the Bible and kind of make it say something that it doesn't, say that, well, since it doesn't talk about life on other planets, there must not be life on other planets, and to think so would be heretical. Well, I don't believe that. I don't think the Bible was meant to be a handbook on the entire workings of the freaking universe. I think it was meant to be for us, for our lives, the instruction on how we can live in a way that will please God and be acquainted with God and understand who he is. I don't think it's a handbook on the universe. So I think there's definitely room for that. The Bible does speak of the Nephilim, and some believe that these beings account for the ancient gods of various mythologies and the current aliens, Greys and otherwise, that seem to exist today. Since I believe that the Bible is God's complete instruction for mankind to live the way that God wants us to, I think that if there are alien life forms that are not in reality fallen angels, I personally believe we won't encounter them until after the events referred to as the end times. Maybe during, but I'm guessing not until after. And I'm also thinking that this is good for any alien life forms that aren't fallen, because I think they're better off without us messing with them until humanity gets fixed. I would hope that if there are alien life forms out there that are not angelic in any form, fallen or otherwise, that they are not fallen like humanity, that they still exist in a perfect state and that they still have perfect relationships with God, and I wouldn't want us to be responsible for mucking that up. So I kind of actually hope that we don't run into any non-angelic aliens until after humanity gets fixed. Still, I think this area has plenty of room for speculation and some great imaginative stories, and that Christians should not be afraid of this idea. As for Jesus being an alien, I think I'd heard that concept a while back. I can't remember if I heard it. It was like on the Discovery Channel or some kind of History Channel or something. Anyway, Colin, I'd love to check out the biblical material you've run into that might imply that. At the end of the day, I think anything is possible, and we could all be hooked up to the Matrix. But in my practical day-to-day life, with what I choose to believe, I'm inclined to go where I think the evidence is leading. I think the odds of Jesus being an alien life form rather than who he claimed to be are pretty astronomical, and that more faith leaps need to be made to reach that conclusion than are required to believe that Jesus is who he said he was. Still, though, I love investigating evidence from level-headed sources, so if you'd like, Colin, send that stuff my way. I would love to check it out. So anyway, that's it this week for our look at the Gospel of John chapter 16 and the little inserted, what do you call it? I was going to say reader mail, that's not right. Viewer mail isn't right. Listener mail, I guess. I kind of incorporated into the Bible study portion this week. So, but anyway, that's it for this week as far as the Bible study goes. Okay, that's it for this week. Do I talk too fast? I was just thinking about that. Because I rattle off stuff really fast, and it's all in an effort to give you the most bang for your buck that I possibly can. Bang for your buck, this is all free, but I don't know. If I'm talking too fast, please let me know. Because then I kind of lose productivity if I'm saying stuff that I think is interesting, but it's coming off so fast and furious that you can't even think and process anything, then I'm just being stupid. So let me know if I talk too fast. A great way that you can do that is to record a message for me with your thoughts on that or any other thoughts that you have at patersbrain.blogspot.com or pater.libsyn.com, or you can email me at pater@spiritblade.net. And I want your thoughts on all kinds of stuff. I want your thoughts on our weekly coffeehouse questions. You can tell us, please, how to make the podcasts and blogs better and more interactive. Or you can record a review for a book, a movie, TV show, anything for us. And you may just hear it on the next podcast. If you could limit that message, though, to 3 minutes or less, that'd be fantastic. Make it easier for me to fit it on the podcast, especially if I need to slow down so I don't talk too much. So anyway, there you have it. We would love to hear from you. That is all the time that we have for this week. But like I said, look for that review for Highlander the Source. I want to say thank you to Colin for sending me that that email. That was really cool to hear from you and to talk about that. So anyway, we'll see you next week. Until then, please, in all things, no matter what it is, please seek the truth. That sounded really lame. Can I say that again? Seek the truth. Yeah, that was better.
Visit www.spiritblade.net. Your banter is awesome. Spider is a crazy freak.